Welcome one and all once again to Deal World in episode 112. It is a week before E3, so we're going to have our fourth and final installment in our pre-E3 series until next week when we do a big pre-show razzmadazzle. But before we get there, we have a very small cast this week, actually. We have Anthony.
Hey, what's up?
And we have Phil.
1 week before E3. Holy crap.
1 week before Animal Crossing. Let's get that clear.
I mean, it's less than a week, depending on how you count it, because we do kick off E3 with Konami's...
On the 6th.
On the 6th. People usually don't count that one, but, you know, we've had... Konami has had a memorable press conference before.
Yeah, they're fun.
Sadly enough, they realized that they were too fun, and they don't do that anymore. They do pre-recorded stuff at Nintendo now. So, we'll see, but, it was
find
nice.
Find out if David Hayter, once and for all, is the voice of Snake at that conference.
Yes. Which would be really funny if he was, because then a lot of fans' outrage would have been for naught.
There's so many petitions going on, and, there's a lot of outrage that David Hayter's not in it. If fans double back and say, okay, I don't like it because David Hayter's not in it, then it does not make any sense to me, because this is what they're fighting for. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. I guess it depends on the medium, because I'm kind of accustomed to characters being... I mean, we just got an announcement yesterday that Doctor Who's being replaced. Well, Matt Smith's even Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I mean, we're on our sixth James Bond, our fourth Batman, fifth Batman. So, I mean, it's weird that people are hung up on this. I get that he's the voice of it, but at some point he's going to get too old, or they're going to stop making...
I mean, there's always going to be transition.
But he's not now, though, and he's pretty connected with the series. When I first heard of it, I love David Hayter, and I love him as a voice, and he's very passionate about it. And when I first heard that, he might not be in it, I was like, okay, that's a big bummer, but, I like the series enough that it doesn't bother me. But as the new stories started going on, and I started seeing more interviews with David Hayter about how they did this, I started losing respect in that decision, because it's kind of disrespectful to Hayter. Just like how they just cut him out of the loop. Even if he's not Snake, as the main character, I think he should make some sort of cameo. Because when Ground Zeroes and Phantom Pain comes, there's gonna be a big boss, and then there's gonna be nine years later to a big boss that might have a different voice, and there might be a younger Snake involved. So David Hayter must be playing one of those sort of timeline characters.
I understand why people are attached to him, and I get it, everybody, but I mean, it's something you have to get used to. It's something that's eventually going to happen.
But none of the excuses were, that great in terms of, replacing the invader.
Well, none of the excuses are ever going to be good enough for the fans. Short of he died or he lost his voice, I don't think anybody's going to accept anything.
Yes, if they want to replace David Hayter, just say, this is our decision to replace David Hayter. Don't beat around the bush and be like, oh, no, we just wanted this or that, or he can't do mocap or whatever, because that's all bullshit.
It's one of those things that we're really not even starting the show yet. I was going to say, it's the same thing that people had issues when they announced that Kevin Conroy won't be Batman in Arkham Origins, and it's like,
you would think that there would be some kind of fanfare, because think about if, Charles Martinet is replaced as Mario, and I don't know about this new voice actor for Snake. I don't know if he's going to try and emulate David Hayter's voice or, what they're going for there, but it is strange to people, because... I mean, just like Mario, David Hayter's voice is connected to Snake. And, hearing someone else's voice coming out, there's been a lot of different Batmans, but unless I'm mistaken, there's been one Snake.
I get that, exactly. But at some point, that one Snake is going to be replaced. I'm not saying that people shouldn't be outraged. I'm just saying that eventually it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It doesn't have to be now, and it... And this Snake isn't going to be there forever, even as a character. Like, when that character is assimilated, maybe, you know, a new Snake, a new clone in the future of the series, then, you know, replace the voice actor. But this is still in the same arc. There's no reason to replace the character or the voice actor.
Either way, we'll find out on Thursday, or maybe not Thursday, who knows. I mean, they said that Metal Gear will be at this event, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's held for Sony or Microsoft. I mean, I assume Sony's press conference.
You would assume, too, that Kojima would have a hard-on for David Hayter, because David Hayter is well-connected in the Hollywood industry, more so than, like, anybody else who's a voice actor. So it's odd to me that Kojima would, like, cut him out of the mix.
Well, I mean, I was going to say it might not be his decision, but that won't be true, because, let's be honest, if Kojima wants, Kojima gets when it comes to Konami.
Well, he gets everything except for being able to leave the series. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what can you say? What can you say? But yes, that is not what we're talking about this week. We're talking about video games, and we're talking about Sony at E3, and we're talking about news, and we're actually right on the first two or three of those. Actually, we're right on most of those. So we're going to kick it off with what we've been saying. Isn't a ton of stuff, a ton of new stuff anyhow. It's, the only game out this week was Fuse, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
I think all of us kind of just passed on it after the demo. I know I played the demo, but like I played the demo with my friends, my group of online co-op friends, which sounds weird, but yeah. And we all just decided after 5 minutes we weren't going to buy that game. So we're still alternating between like Dead Island and Halo 4, which added Forge Island this week or recently, which is, I always love the fact that Halo is supported so well with free content.
Yep.
Which I never got the point of buying map packs for, because you get so much free, you get new free modes, you get new free maps, you get all these free things, and I haven't bought a map pack since Halo 3.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the only reason why I would buy a map pack is if it was some kind of a nostalgic map pack. Like, obviously it would never happen, but if Halo released, like, you know, Facility in GoldenEye, or... you know, some level I love from Time Splitters, that I might consider buying it, but I'm not going to pay money for new maps that I don't know about when the maps that I'm playing are, you know, typically, usually all right.
I think all right pretty much describes Halo 4's maps. I don't think any of them stand out as great to me, but some of the free customers are pretty awesome, because the community really gets in there, and they kind of know what they want, and they're usually pretty well designed, where I think with developers, they have an idea of... Especially, I think it was Reach that was really guilty of this, where they're like, okay, we want to do an invasion map, and that map is really great for invasion, but for everything else, it's kind of lopsided. And I feel like that's kind of the case here as well, where there are maps that are good for certain modes, and then they really can't be used for anything else. Everybody disappear on me?
No, can you hear me?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so, I mean, has anybody been playing anything else? It's been a very quiet week.
Yeah, it's, we're experiencing, you know, a little bit of a calm before the storm right now. So I get like this, rarely, maybe like once a year, but like I'm very video game restless right now. I have video game ADD, where I can't really focus on anything, I find. And it's a lot more fun to take in, like, starting with that Xbox One announcement, it was a lot more fun to absorb all the information and talk about games and listen to podcasts rather than it was to play games. And I'm sort of still in that mode, but I've been using me in this mode as an opportunity to just, like, you know, dick around in old games. So a few podcasts ago, I said that I got a bunch of consoles from eBay. Like, either it's replacing consoles that were defective that I owned or consoles that I never owned. So I've been playing around with some of those. You guys have both played the Dreamcast?
Yeah.
Man, that is a loud machine. Do you guys remember how loud that machine is?
Oh, that machine was loud. It was one of my favorite things about it is one of my favorite games of all time, which is Arcadia. And if you ever played that on the Dreamcast, whenever a random encounter would about to happen, the disc would have to go, so you'd always hear it. So if you're fast enough, you can kind of pause it, and sometimes you can avoid the random encounter.
Nice.
But yeah, I remember how loud that system was.
Yeah, that's just, I was taken aback by how loud the Dreamcast was. I'm not sure if any consoles in memory are as loud as that. But
I think the Xbox is up there, the 360, I mean.
Yeah, like the original version.
Yeah, because that thing sounds like a jet engine.
That's true. So yeah, I've been playing some Power Stone on Dreamcast.
Yes, oh, Power Stone.
Yeah.
I'm so disappointed they have not brought that franchise back, even as like an arcade title.
Yeah. Controller's a little weird.
Wait, one or two?
A Power Stone, you mean?
Yeah.
One.
Oh, yeah. You gotta pay two.
Yeah, well, I didn't buy like a bunch of games for it. I bought like I got the Dreamcast and then it came with some games, and the two notable ones were Power Stone and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. And then it came with like some bullshit ones like Super Bass Fishing and stuff like that. But
what do you mean bullshit?
True. So I've also been playing NES games. And I've been focusing on some NES games that I've never played before, such as Wizards and Warriors. I don't know if you guys have heard of that game.
No, I haven't.
It's pretty good. Pretty good. I was enjoying that. And the NES is, it's funny for me because, like, I grew up, like, I started playing video games with the NES, but for some reason I don't have that euphoric nostalgia whenever I do play NES games, and I don't really have a desire to go back and play NES games. That desire started with the Super Nintendo, Genesis, TurboGrafx era, but like I started playing games with the NES. I don't know why that is, but
I had the same thing where I don't have any fondness for the NES because I had an NES. I had several NESs growing up. We were a household of the mostly boys, so we broke things.
Yeah.
But we also kind of just had. It's where my love of Mario came from. We had Mario games. We had Castlevanias. We had, you know, like the random, we had Ninja Turtles and stuff like that, but we didn't have, like, a huge collection, like, Metroid and Zelda and Mega Man and stuff like that wasn't stuff I didn't get into until I was, like, a teenager. So, like, most of my fondness comes from, like, the Genesis and Super Nintendo era, because that's really when I kind of got into buying games for myself.
Yeah. Yeah, like I started, you know, with Battletoads, Double Dragon, and stuff like that, but if you put that in front of me now, it's like, hey, play these classic NES games, I'm like, I don't really want to, but when that transition, like even Mario, like the original three Marios, I'm indifferent about. I didn't start getting into Mario until Mario World happened, like in a serious manner. But I actually, you know what? The only franchise that, you know, I find that I would love going back playing on the NES is Mega Man.
And that's because it hasn't really evolved beyond that. For better or worse.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
better or worse.
Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much what I've been playing. I still have to finish Metro. That's long, long overdue. Like, I lost my momentum in that when the Xbox One announcement happened. and you see, like, I like listening to podcasts, but, you know, generally, like most people, I like listening to podcasts while I'm doing something.
Yes.
And with games, it's podcasts are a great coupling when you're doing fetch quests or something that you don't have to think about. But like, I didn't have any games at that point. I had like Metro, which needs my full immersion to, you know, grasp like the atmosphere that's going on around me and the story. But my desire to just play something mindless was greater than that at the time. But
yes, I do have mine just.
But yeah, Remember Me is coming to me on yeah, so I'll be playing that this week.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I've been playing stuff, but it's the same stuff I've been talking about. I told you, I mentioned this on the show a couple of months ago, that I'm trying a new tack. Instead of being ADHD with my games and playing everything at once, I'm trying to focus on one game at a time until I beat it, which works out well, except when I'm not in the mood to play that game. I'm pretty
yeah.
honest.
Yeah.
So I did beat New Super Mario Bros. U this week. And,
nice.
Nicely done.
I'll have thoughts on that later. Not this week, anyhow. I just wanted to mention that I have been digging around my Wii U more since I beat it. And two things that really stood out to me. One is I find that the Wii U transfer and the Pikmin animation is like the greatest thing ever. It's one of those things that you don't think about because, honestly speaking, most people will see it once in their entire life because you don't transfer your Wii to Wii U that often because you have one Wii and one Wii U. But it's the fact that they went out of their way to create this really engaging animation was so terrific. I actually sat there and watched most of it. Like, it does get repetitive after a while.
Yeah, I mean, I fell asleep. I did.
But, yeah, it takes a while. But I watched it, and all I was thinking about was, I thought it was great, but also just seeing, like, all the games that I've played over the course of the generation on that system. And, you know, when people say it has no games, I always feel bad. Because, personally speaking, from my taste, it was my favorite console of the 3 this generation as far as games I own and games I will remember beyond this generation.
You're talking about the original Wii, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think it had an extremely solid library.
So, It was just so, you know, it's kind of like, it was like one of those, it's like a montage in a movie where it's just going through all the old memories of all, like games games I remembered owning, but like, I don't have any more games that I should go back and finish, like The Blob and No More Heroes and The Galaxy. It was just a terrific, you know, seeing all those games come across the screen again. The other
Did
thing
you
I
say
noted,
a boy in his blob?
No, Deep Blob.
Oh, okay, all right.
A boy in his blob I need to play. I've heard terrific things about that as
that's
well.
That's good. I was going to, like, props to you for mentioning that game, but yeah, go on.
The other thing I noticed, especially in contrast to the fact that I own a 3DS, is that the Wii U has nothing on its system for you to do if you're not playing a game.
What do you mean?
Like, there's nothing to do. Like, the 3DS, you have face raiders, you have
The Wii had, like, you know, Everybody Votes channel and all these fun things.
Yeah,
you can't do now.
Check
but...
me out.
What are you guys talking about? You don't use Wii Speak?
That's not even. Yeah, but like, I was sticking around with it because you have to download stuff individually, which I thought was dumb. Like, I had to download the YouTube channel. I'm like, okay, let me just see what's around here. And it's like, there's nothing. There's no.
It's worth saying, though, that you should not use that YouTube channel. The internet browser and YouTube site is much better.
Yeah, the YouTube was awful. It's really weird how some of the things seem half-baked, and I hope they fix it in future updates. Like, Netflix, I find the interface great, but it lacks features. Like, it doesn't have an autoplay feature for TV shows.
Yeah.
So that really made my Arrested Development stuff kind of tedious, because, like, every episode would end, and... Yeah, so it's a lot of stuff that I feel like you would think that Nintendo would be on top of this and make it Nintendo-esque.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? When I first got the Wii U, I found the Miiverse pretty immersive. Like, I was totally into that, like, when I first got it.
Miiverse is fun to check out, but... And this kind of goes to, I guess, the system, and I hope they fix... Is that I still find that Miiverse is still too slow to be something I check out often, because it does still take a couple of seconds to get into it and check out posts and stuff. Like, if it was a bit more instantaneous, I think I'd be more on board with it, if that makes sense. But yeah, Miiverse is fun, but it's still, that's not something, like, I mean, it's like, 3DS has swap notes, and that's cool, but this, it's like, and I feel like there's certain stuff that they have aspects of that available if they want to push it that way. Like, I haven't downloaded it, but I've heard good things about the Google Street View. If they had built-in panorama view and gave you some free demos of that instead of having to pay $2 for each of them, I think that would have been cool as well. It just feels odd because, again, and this, you know, this can be about Nintendo in general, but you compare the 3DS to like the Wii U, and it's like it's two different companies working on this thing, because the 3DS was built around the idea like, we want you to always have the system with you. We want you to always kind of have something to do with this system. So they built in Face Radar. They have Puzzle Quest and Find Me. And that stuff, it's not deep. It's not, but it's compelling. It's the reason I carry my 3DS everywhere, because I don't want to miss the opportunity to get a street pass or a spot pass or find a new puzzle piece. And I, granted, the Wii U doesn't, can't have that because you won't, you know, you're not interacting with people on a daily basis. But I think there should have been some stuff that Nintendo could have built in to showcase the system on some level.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. As for the Pikmin thing, it is neat. I made the mistake, though, by doing everything at once when I first got the Wii U. So, and the transfer was the last thing that I did. So I had the Wii U came to me, and I had already not played any games for hours upon getting this console, and then that transfer tool just, like, kind of put my impatience over the edge, so I wasn't as, you know, la-di-da about it like you were watching it, but it was a neat thing.
Oh, yeah, that that was one of the reasons I did it. It was like I haven't 30, I was tired, I'm like, you know, I haven't done this yet, and just do it, and I figured I'd just put it on in the background and go about doing my stuff, and I just found it engaging, but yeah, the Wii U does take a lot of setup. Lucky for me, after dicking around with it, but, and this is, I think Sony does this as well, I don't remember if Microsoft does. Nintendo isn't smart enough after a while. I mean, one, I think it's built into more systems now, but they also included it on this, so like when I got my Wii U, I got Ego City on the cover, which had the system update, which is a lot quicker to install than to download and install it, so that worked out well, and yeah, then this Pikmin stuff was just whatever this during this week.
Do you have a Nintendo Land?
It came with my system, so yeah.
Oh, okay.
I haven't paid it yet.
You haven't played Nintendo Land at all?
No. Like I said, one game at a time.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So it's been Lego City. It's been Mario. I'm playing. I dabbled in Injustice. That's probably going to be my next project. I've been dabbling in Luigi's Mansion. I don't think I've been playing anything else. I want to get the Oracle games, but... Oh, yeah.
That's right. I bought Seasons.
That's what I wanted to talk about. Those games have aged so well. So there's some kind of charm with what Nintendo did with their Game Boy and Game Boy Color Zelda's Link's Awakening and the Oracle games. I mean, I've been going through Minish Cap on Game Boy Advance, and it's been it's good for sure. It is, but there's some kind of unspoken charm in those three Game Boy ones that I've been waiting for the Oracle games to come out on the Virtual Console for a while now, months if not a year or two. And
I completely agree. And that unspoken charm is Capcom. They created Minish Cap and the Oracle games.
Mm-hmm. And then expand.
Fantastic. Fantastic games. Like, Minish Cap is one of my top five favorite Zelda games of all time. I still own my Oracle of Ages cart, so I bought Season on the 3DS. I want to jump into one of those at some point, but I just need to make sure that I focus on it. But yeah, like, fantastic games.
I haven't played any of those three, so that's on me. I was going to say one thing I do enjoy about Nintendo right now, and I don't think they get enough credit for it at times because everybody likes to help them with what they're not doing, but I do hope they're dealing with the Virtual Console on both systems where they're kind of engaging people to buy these games by having weekly sales on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it's only $1 on each, but $2 is a lot of money to some people.
But I mean, like, on the Wii U, they've been doing deals pretty often, like, buy these two Kirby games and then you'll get this one free. And what's the most recent example? They have
something. It's Mega Man X and Ghosts and Goblins. You get buy one, get 50% off the other one, and they did Super Mario. Yeah, and then you factor in the fact that they're also offering the 30-cent games like right now, Super Metroid.
And yeah, that's the last one, I believe, out of the 30-cent.
No, there's two more.
Really? What, do you know what they are?
There's a Yoshi game
and Donkey Kong.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the Yoshi one, it's not Yoshi's Cookie, it's some other weird Yoshi one that is, by all means,
just called Yoshi, right?
Yeah, what? I think that's a Nintendo
just
game.
Yoshi. Yeah.
Yeah, just called Yoshi, which by no means is worth buying at all, but at the same time, how do you pass on something that's 30 cents?
Which is kind of what they think they're hoping for.
I also don't think Donkey Kong is worth buying, but that's me.
But 30 cents.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really hard to say 30 cents, and granted, it's extremely cheap, but you
also
get...
On the virtual console, I bought Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr. for $5 each before... Like, I wasn't really familiar with Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr., so I was like, yes, I'm gonna play these Memories of History. And then I realized that both those games are like 5 minutes long each. Granted, you know, the goal of those games back in the day was, you know, getting the score and playing it over and over again, but yeah. Yeah, $10 for those games. I was like, wow.
Woo!
I do hope they continue their 30 cent campaign. I think it's a fantastic campaign. I think it's a great way to get people to check out the virtual console in the eShop. And yeah, they do a great job of getting you to check it out week in and week out. By offering these deals. They've done one almost every week this month, so there you go.
Yep.
Yeah, and E3 soon, so I assume they'll probably have some new game. We'll hear about Earthbound soon enough and whatever. But yes, I think that's it for what we've been saying. News is really short, and sadly Daniel isn't here this week. The first bit of news is EA is offering their online passes for free on all systems now for any game that had it. And I, for one, hate the fact that people are celebrating this, because it shouldn't have been there in the first place. Just because EA removed something that we hated doesn't mean they should get complimented for it.
Is that actually what's happening? Like, people are saying hooray?
Well, people are not celebrating. People aren't like running down the streets setting off fireworks. But people are kind of good for EA. And I'm just like, no.
Yeah.
They made a bad business decision. They're resenting on it. And it's like, what happened to the people who did spend $10 for it? Are they getting their money back?
No.
So, yeah. I mean, and most of these games are old, so it doesn't make a difference to most people. So whatever, I just find it, I mean, yay for it being gone and whatever, it shouldn't have been there in the first place. What was the other thing we wanted to talk about this week? It was something about Square, but I don't remember.
Oh,
I know
okay, so this is just going entirely off of memory, I don't have anything in front of me right now, but Square announced, like, some of its new mission statement, and one of them was, getting people involved in, like, the creation of these games, like, giving them step-by-step updates and what's going on. One of them was to reuse assets for their games so that they can pump out other games a lot quicker, and if that's sequels or, you know, new games with those same assets, sort of like Majora's Mask to, you know, Ocarina of Time or 10-2 to 10. There's one more one that was like
they want to monetize their games pre-release and presumably be more
What does that mean exactly? Like,
that's what I didn't know. Like, I don't know. I assume it's something like Kickstarter, maybe something like the Rayman Legends Challenge app, where it's like, we'll give you a portion of the game early for a price.
Yeah, I guess
like,
so.
Yeah, like, you know,
I've done that at all.
Huh?
Have either of you paid attention? I just remember they were doing daily challenges each day. I did that for like 3 days, and I haven't touched it since.
I've done it a couple of times, and much like you, I don't go back anymore. I do like the idea of it, but yeah, it's like, because it's basically we're using the same areas, just different. I mean, kind of then it's supposed to be a slice of the game, so that makes sense. But yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I haven't went back either.
Some of these things sound good, and some of them are kind of iffy.
Yeah, well, I think, like, reusing assets is a great idea, because,
reusing assets is a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
I wish more people in the industry did that, because,
especially Square, because they create such crazy, awesome engines, but most of the time they don't really do anything with it. Like, maybe they'll do one sequel, and then they have to spend another 4 years building another engine to pump out another Final Fantasy game. So, like, but, like, it's great, like... they can use those assets for a long time before they start to get old. So I'm glad that they're finally doing that.
And I mean, just so people don't harp on it, and you brought up a great example, probably the primary example, and I think there's a more recent one as well. Majora's Mask reuses Ocarina of Time assets, but because they're reusing assets, Nintendo decided, let's just make this as bizarre as possible. And it's one of the most unique, if not the most unique, game in the franchise.
Yeah, reusing assets forces developers to, because, you know,
it doesn't force the first place. That's the problem, though. Sometimes it just means that they're being lazy. But if you do use it in a creative manner, like I said, a more recent example would be Far Cry Blood Dragon.
Yeah.
Which reuses assets but makes it into a much different product. Where like something like Final Fantasy 13, 13-2, and I guess Lightning Returns all kind of use the same assets, but it's pretty much the same game.
I'll disagree with that. I think 10-2 and 13-2 is arguably, you know, like one of the most fun games in the series and completely a polar opposite of 10. And 13-2 is kind of the same opposed to 13, like how they went about, like how you navigate the gameplay and all these new features. I don't think that they're the same at all. My enjoyment with 13-2 was disappointing compared to 13, but I think that even with Square, like they've gotten clever with how they make their sequels with their old assets.
Square needs some way to do that because it's taken forever to get their games out there, and that's not a good thing. The monetization of games pre-release, I don't know. I mean, it depends on how they do it. It can become really sketchy, we've seen examples. Dead Rising K-Zero was an example of that. They used assets from that game and they created like a mini game that you could buy ahead of release, and it served as a demo as well. Getting sequels out faster is both good and bad, because this is Square, that would mean that they probably would be more in line with normal people instead of having a sequel come out like every four years. It's not so bad if they start, you know, doing it every year, then that's an issue. So, I mean, I think these core philosophies, these tenements can go either way.
Well, as long as they're doing, like, different things with it, like, I'm not opposed to every year, because, like, seriously, like, Final Fantasy, like, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 all came out within, like, 1 year of each other, if not the odd time, too. And nobody got tired of those games because they're completely different from each other. And nobody, like, had a problem with saying, like, oh, this is annualization of Final Fantasy.
Even
back in the Super Nintendo era, that happened as well.
Was a different time, because nowadays it seems like people can't do that because it's just way too expensive. I mean, you would think, Call of Duty is a prime example of this. It's like with two studios working on it on a bi-yearly schedule, you'd think that each game would be radically different from each other. And they're more the same.
With Call of Duty, they don't really need... They make so much money, and the fans just love the same thing, like how people like Dragon.
Well, I mean, that could happen in any franchise, which is why you don't want to pump out these sequels.
But Square has never been about... Square has always been about reinventing themselves with everything, even with their sequels to, like, the same...
But that's when they had the luxury of doing that. They don't really have that right now, which is what... if they continue that tenement, where they make everything different and stuff, but if you go with that and then using the assets all the time, it does kind of paint a negative picture with those.
Well, I think they absolutely have that luxury, because it's not like anything that they... It's not like a gameplay trope right now that they have going on is something that everybody is... Like, Final Fantasy 13 was split across the board, so they're not going to keep replicating that, because eventually the fan base is just going to whittle out completely. But, like, it's in Square's best interest to keep doing what Square is good at doing, and that is being clever and inventing new things with their assets.
We shall see. We shall see. Hopefully, the fruit of the labors are at least some of it shown at E3. But, we should get to our main topic of discussion this week, the final of the big three. And for once, the company we know the least amount of going into E3, Sony. What do you folks expect from... we know there's going to be a huge focus on the PlayStation 4. What do you expect from the PlayStation 4? What do you want to see for the PlayStation 4?
Well, they said that obviously when they unveiled the PS4 and were talking about it, they they focused on the games. That's what the whole talk of the town was when Xbox One was revealed, that Microsoft and Sony were going in different directions. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, Kazurai said that Sony is going for an entertainment standpoint as well, that it's not going to be just games driven, whether that is kind of, Nintendo's side, where they just include the app for Netflix or whatever, or if they want to go towards Microsoft's side. I think that remains to be seen, but most importantly, they're releasing an HD version of Tales of Symphonia for the PS3.
Okay, yeah. That was a random tangent.
I love that game, and I wish it was coming to Wii U, but
I did find that a bit jarring that it's a Nintendo franchise, not a Nintendo franchise, but Tales of Symphonia was a GameCube game. It got ported to PS2 eventually.
Yeah.
As far as I know, Tales of Symphonia: Dawn of the New World never got ported anywhere, and that was a Wii exclusive. So it was odd that it went there, but. Yeah, I think Sony should be smart, and Sony has been smart recently in positioning themselves as the gamers' company. They are the company that is willing to take risk on all these, huge new IPs, take a risk on, giving studios as much time as possible to create a game, putting out games that probably should not be put out because it wouldn't make them any money. And they've always
money.
They've been good at that, and they've also been good at kind of making themselves an entertainment center without being overt with it like Microsoft has in recent years. Because, most of the stuff, it has Netflix, it has Hulu Plus, it has Amazon Video. It, it's a great Blu-ray player if you use it for that. It has a lot of the functionalities of the Xbox Gold without, the as robust online multiplayer aspect to it. So
I wouldn't put it past Sony and Microsoft to kind of flip-flop here. Like, it would not surprise me if Sony, they showed some games but focused more on the system itself, considering that we haven't even seen what it looks like. I think that might be a focus at their press conference, where Microsoft is going to start talking a little bit more about their games and stuff, because I just remembered that they announced that they spend $1 billion on securing some exclusive titles and new IPs.
Yeah, they've invested $1 billion into studios, into games, into infrastructure. So yeah, they've invested a lot of money into that, and we'll see that. But I also expect that Sony will have a ton of games. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Sony has the most first party studios on the market.
And they're in a good spot right now. Yeah, I agree with Anthony. They have a lot more clarifying at this conference, and that's going to eat up some of the show games time as opposed to Xbox One. Because they do have to show the box. They have to clear up the DRM, the used games. I don't know if they'll do that during the conference. That might be
I don't think either one of them will really show it up during E3. We'll have questions, but it's a complete and utter no, this isn't going to happen. You're going to have people saying, oh, maybe.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If Jack Tretton gets on stage and bats his eyes at me, then I'm sold.
But yeah, I think what I want to see from Sony, and this is kind of, I had this problem with the press conference in February, and disagree or not, is that I want to see a reason for the PlayStation 4 having a better looking Killzone or having a better looking racing game isn't enough for me. I need to see what is Sony offering that's new and unique to this ecosystem that's not just like, oh, here's a better conversion of a PS3 game.
Oh, you mean like Knack?
It's Knack that's interesting to me, but I do want to see more. I do want to see more.
Me too. And I think, I think this E3, we'll get some surprises, like some new IPs from both ends, new announcements. If Sony's smart, they'll be trying to lock up exclusives too. Like going back to Square for a second, if they're smart, and it would be easy to do because like Square hasn't had much success on the 360, they would be like they'd be locking up like the next Final Fantasy Versus or 15 or whatever it is as a console exclusive. And while the name Final Fantasy doesn't carry as much clout as it did a while back, it's still a console seller by name. So if they're smart, they'll be doing that. They'll be showing something from The Last Guardian. They'll be doing other things to, like, Sony always has these unique games that are quintessential to their consoles, while some has moved on to multi-platform, like Metal Gear Solid and Grand Theft Auto. They still have a lot of backers that they can try to get.
Yeah, and I mean, that's always been the interesting thing with E3 in the past few years, is seeing just where the Microsoft-Sony divide is, because there's certain companies that back Microsoft more, Activision and stuff like that, and then there's, you know, more Japanese companies tend to, you know, we'll probably see Konami with Metal Gear at Sony, and, you know, Square with Final Fantasy at Sony and stuff like that. And we'll, you know,
Destiny's going to be at Sony.
Destiny's going to be at Sony. So yeah, there'll be interesting games. Again, it's not an issue of not having games. Sony, again, I've mentioned they've put out more games than I think either one of the other two does. It's an aspect of having compelling games, because Sony, I think, does a good job of putting out games. I just feel like most of their games don't really have that mass market appeal. And I think sales show. I mean, their biggest franchise is getting a PS3 version this fall, which I think is an odd business decision.
What?
Gran Turismo 6
is
coming out.
Oh, yes. Yes. That's right. Yeah.
We could probably see Uncharted, because Naughty Dog has two teams and obviously just finished work on.
I hope not. I really don't. Like, Naughty Dog has been good for being like, here is this generation series, and now this new console's out, completely reinventing themselves. I really hope they don't go back to Uncharted, but they, yeah, like you, I have a strong suspicion that they might, but I hope, like, they continue, depending on, like, how The Last of Us turns out, which I'm really excited for, like, they just continue that series for the next generation, or something else.
Yeah, but even if they did continue that, I mean, they have two studios, and I have to imagine Sony probably wants more Uncharted, because it is a decent seller for them. And, you know, Nathan Drake is kind of a big deal. Who else does Sony have that has a name to them? We have God of War, but we just had one two months ago.
Yeah.
And I think that's a problem. I think Microsoft and Sony are going to run
into. Have whatever Quantic Dream puts out. They always have that on their console.
But is that going to be soon? Because we still have Beyond Two Souls. That's Beyond Two Souls becomes a cross-gen title. That's a very distinct possibility, but I don't know if Quantum Dreams has enough to have two games out in 1 year.
No, definitely not. But that is like a company that they do have under their belt.
Do you think we'll see anything about the Asgardian this year?
Yes. Yeah, I do think that we'll see something with The Last Guardian. I feel like The Last Guardian is something that you should, like, horse races, you should, like, bet money on. But, I think that we'll see something. But it has to be, right? It has to be something.
It has to be, but we've said this for, like, the last 3 years now on this show.
Yeah, but they, like, how are they in business? They have not put out a single game since
this entire generation.
It's insane.
And I assume that Sony's probably... I hope that Sony's wise enough to cancel it on the PS3 and just make it a PS4 title, hopefully at launch. Because at this point, I don't know what it would do for the PS3.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to think, because, I mean, Sony has a lot of franchises. They work with a lot of studios. But a lot of those studios kind of met with financial difficulties this generation. So a lot of them probably aren't in business or aren't going to work with Sony going... I mean, we've seen that with not Ben, the people who what are their names? I was gonna say the people who made PlayStation All Stars Battle Royale, but also the people who made Starhawk and the people who made
Resistance
Burn in Skies.
Yeah, I don't. I know what you're talking about. I don't remember the name of that company, but yeah. Yeah, it's been hard times for a lot of companies this generation. Well, especially like. Not so much the starting of the generation, but, like, the back end of it. It's been pretty crazy for a lot of pretty well-renowned companies. It's been very tragic.
Yeah. But we'll see. I just don't know what to expect from Sony, which is a good thing, because usually at this point, Sony has revealed everything already. So it's interesting going in with no idea of what they're doing. At least they got their ship in order.
It's funny how this changes, like, every E3. Like, I kind of know what to expect from Microsoft and Nintendo at this point, but this E3 now, I don't know what to expect from Sony. And it was last E3, or maybe the E3 before, where, like, I did not know what to expect from Microsoft. And, like, it just goes like that every E3. It's pretty... But, yeah, like, this E3, Sony is the unknown in terms of those three companies.
Yeah, which is a good thing for them. But the other unknown, and this isn't a good thing because this should have a lot more known, is the Vita.
Yeah. What a shame that thing is. That really sucks. They need to, but like, I don't know what they can announce for that will sell that system. Like,
well, I mean, there's stuff they can announce for it. The problem is can they announce stuff that, like, the stuff they can announce, the stuff they should announce, is, like, would those developers forego the state-of-the-art technology offered in their HD consoles to do it a handheld version? I mean, Nintendo kind of gets away with it because they have a dedicated handheld branch and a lot of Japanese support.
Yeah, but, like, the 3DS gets away with people being intrigued by games on that platform because how unique it is. And there are games that you can't play or get anywhere else except for the 3DS. But, like, Vita and PSP is largely, you know, like a console experience on a handheld. And the PSP, what was appealing for me anyway, was the fact that I could play, like, old PlayStation games on it. And then there's a lot of great ports of past games on it as well. But that's not going to cut it for the Vita. Like, that happened on the PSP already. You can't just release a bunch of ports and sell it for the Vita. So they have to start thinking of, ways to utilize that great technology that they built for it in order to sell some games. And get some games, like, for instance, you know, like, virtual novel games are very successful on handheld devices. Get something that will be successful on that platform specifically. They need to figure that out.
And I mean, word came out this week that it seems like PlayStation Vita support will be mandatory for any game that doesn't use the PlayStation Eye. And positioning it as a really expensive peripheral for the PS4 might help it, but it still needs a reason to sell itself. I don't see many people buying it just because it's a controller for the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, like a second screen, yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's one way to kind of extend the longevity of it, but they need games. They need a reason for people to go out and buy this thing. And right now, I don't know. Like you said, there are things that would help. A mainstream Final Fantasy, another Peace Walker type game. But it's not up to Sony, and that's the problem. Like, I mean, like, they've done Uncharted, they've done Resistance, they have a Killzone coming out, and it's not helping this system. I don't think we'll see a Gran Turismo anytime soon because they're just doing the PlayStation 3 version right now. And after a while, like, how long will third parties kind of hold out giving it token support before they drop it? It's been over a year. A year and a half since the system came out, and it still hasn't found any momentum.
No, yeah, like none. It's been really sad. They need to figure something out or something for that, like that. Like, get some JRPGs on it. Like, the JRPGs are finding... It's getting harder and harder for JRPGs. Like, not mainstream JRPGs like Final Fantasy, but, you know, like, the more unknown ones to find a home on consoles these days. But, like, they're usually pretty successful on handhelds. So just, like, have a bunch of JRPGs developed for the Vita, and that'll...
Yeah, the problem with that is who? I mean... JRPGs, I was going to say if you're a Japanese company, but that defeats the purpose since that's usually who makes JRPGs. But if you're a Japanese company and you have the option between a 3DS, which has...
Yeah, that's true.
25 million user base, and a PlayStation Vita, which has a 5 million user base. I mean, unless you really, really, really just hate Nintendo or you want that technology, there's really very few reasons to put it on the Vita over the 3DS. And the reason you would put it on the Vita over the 3DS is if you want to port it to the PlayStation 3, which defeats the purpose, because then why not just buy it for the PlayStation 3?
Which means it's completely up to Sony to take a risk with their money and start giving it to developers and being like, hey, develop on our system, here's some money.
The problem with that, though, is Sony needs to focus on the launch of their new home console in a couple of months. So, I mean, the Vita stuff should have been stuff that we should have been seeing over the past year. And, I mean, I would imagine we might see another version of Assassin's Creed Liberation 2. We might see another Call of Duty. But I don't know how much support this system's going to get at E3. It's going to be curious to see what they have.
Yeah, like, bring back, you know, some old franchises, but just for the Vita. Like, bring back Onimusha for the Vita or something weird. I think that's what the Vita needs, is just, like, these really obscure, nostalgia-driven franchises that developers wouldn't risk to make a full game out of it on a console, just, like, slap it on the Vita.
The problem with that, though, is like it's a chicken and the egg scenario. Very few people want to support a system with their own install base because it's a very, you know, the chances of failure are high. But a system won't get a high install base until you put games in it that people want to buy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like it's the same thing. It's the same situation that Wii U finds itself in. It's like you can completely understand why people aren't supporting it, but at the same time, if you aren't supporting it, you're just kind of filling that void. Like, it won't sell well because. No games are going to sell well because the system doesn't sell well. The system won't sell well because no games are on it.
Yeah, and it's funnier with Nintendo because when developers actually do put games out on it, Nintendo directly competes with the people that are putting games out on it with their own games. So chances are, like, yeah, those don't sell anyway.
Yeah, and I guess the final piece of the puzzle, and this is more so than Microsoft, is that the PlayStation 3 is also going to be a big deal that hit this show. We've mentioned before, The Last of Us is still not out. I doubt it's going to have an E3 presence because it's out the week after.
I think they'll just say, hey, remember to get The Last of Us this Friday. That's coming out.
We haven't seen much of Beyond Two Souls recently, so I expect that to have a piece of the press conference. Gran Turismo 6 is still a thing. I expect we'll probably see something of Lightning Returns.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Metal Gear, we kind of mentioned before. Ground Zero and Phantom Pain.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of that. What else?
Maybe the Asgardian.
Maybe, yeah.
But yeah, I think, you know, like, I think Sony has an interesting problem to show, because they have three viable platforms to talk about at E3 more than anybody else, and it's going to be interesting how much they balance the fact that they need to really hype up this system against Microsoft, Xbox One, and the fact that they do have to kind of rejuvenate the PlayStation Vita's market while they still have a fairly competitive PlayStation 3 on the market with big games coming out this fall. So it shall be interesting to see what their focus is and how they combat all that. I can imagine that the Vita and the PlayStation 3 might just get like a sizzle reel trailer. I can also see them talking about it because stuff like Gran Turismo and Drive Club can be talked about together.
Yeah, I get increasingly more excited about Drive Club every day. I also want to know, like, more clarification on how the sharing thing works. Because, like, I'm so excited for that sharing feature. That sounds awesome. Like, having that and, like, you know, jumping and play other people's games and, like, people, like, friends of mine who don't live near me, I can have that in-the-room sort of experience on playing games. And what I'm interested in is, like, can you do that? Will they, like, sell classic games, like classic PlayStation games, and can you also stream that and jump in and play that as well?
Yeah, I think the social aspect's going to be fun, but the social aspect, the streaming, is stuff that it's always a tough sell because we want to know about this stuff, but gamers also complain when stuff like this is shown at a press conference because it's not games. And like, oh, look, he's checking out Facebook. We don't want to see that.
Well, in terms of the sharing, I think that's pretty directly related to games.
It is, but
the Miiverse is to Nintendo.
Yeah, but even the Miiverse people didn't like, and that had its own Nintendo Direct, and people were kind of upset with that.
Because people are just antsy. I don't know.
Yeah, gamers want games, games, and...
Yeah, gamers are the worst.
You can have features that aren't related to gaming and showcase it, and it does well. I think, you know, Miiverse is a great example of that. I think the, what was that? What is Nair on the PlayStation Vita?
I think
the Sony streaming stuff is really interesting. The problem is that people want this stuff, but people don't want you to show this stuff. This stuff needs to be... They want it all explained at once, but they don't want it explained at a press conference, but they want it so that they know exactly what you're talking about. So it's all these contradictions. So it's always a balancing act between getting the right mixture of information and flashy games and CGI trailers and stuff like that to intrigue somebody. I do think that going in right now, Sony has the most to gain or lose with this E3, because right now Nintendo's a non-factor to most people, and Microsoft is on most gamers' bad side with the Xbox One and the DRM situation. So Sony has this mythical status right now where they are gamers' as salvation, and I feel like that's a good and bad thing for them going to this show, because if they knock it out of this park, people are justified in their opinion. If they don't knock it out of the park, though, people are going to really despise them, and it's only for their own off the expectations of what this system can do.
Isn't life amazing? Like, nothing is certain. Like, people who are kings yesterday can easily just become commoners tomorrow. It's so crazy how it happens. Yeah. Especially in this industry, it's very fascinating just how quickly tides change so rapidly.
Okay, so yeah, that will do it for us this week. We'll be back next week with our big pre-E3 show.
Yes.
And as always...
Maybe not. I might be playing Animal Crossing. I might be there on the podcast, just not saying anything.
Yeah, everybody saying Animal Crossing. But
we'll
that comes on Sunday.
Anthony come in here and there and be like, yeah, more fruit.
More bells.
I don't know.
More
okay, bells. The hell? Tom freaking Nook!
As always with our big free E3 shows, I always like to hear people's thoughts and suggestions and predictions. So, as always, we're kind of opening up everything for you to submit it. So, if you want to leave us a voicemail on our Google Voice line, the number is 347-407-6373 or 347-407-NERD. If you want to leave us an email, you can send us an email. You can leave us a voice recording, and that is at dw@northontherocks.com. I would not suggest Twitter just because 140 characters, unless you really have precise predictions, it's not the best idea to submit it to, but you can leave it on our Facebook wall, which is you can also find us on Dual World and on Facebook. You can find us at Dual World and on Twitter. We'll put up all this stuff on the site as well and with this post, but, you know, leave your predictions, leave your thoughts, leave what your hopes and your fears and your dreams and your aspirations for E3, and we'll put as much as possible into the show next week as we can. Questions are also welcome, what we expect to see, what we want, you know, chances of this and that and all that fun jazz. So leave that there. So I want to thank Philip and Anthony for joining me, and this has been Dual World in episode 112.
Catch you later. Yourself.
Brace yourself.